Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. He grew worse and worse until finally he stopped breathing. The woman said to Elijah, "What have you done to me? Did you come here to remind me of my sin? Did you come here to kill my son?" "Give me your son," said Elijah. Elijah said to the Lord, "Lord my God, why have you done this terrible thing to her? Why have you caused her son to die?" Then Elijah prayed, "Lord my God, let this boy live again." The Lord answered Elijah's prayers. The boy was alive again. Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know you really are a man of God. I know that the Lord truly speaks through you."
Thank you, Thea, for sharing that with us so creatively. It's an incredible story, isn't it? As we see the widow's grief and loss, we're reminded of ours. And so we're going to do two things before Tim speaks with us this morning. We're going to give and we're going to pray. Your giving contributes towards loads of ways that we are seeking to help people through loss at the moment. If you would like to give, you can head to hrbc.org.uk/give. Thank you so much to everyone who is sacrificially worshipping in this way and providing for many people. Let's pray. Lord God, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your word. Father, we bring our sorrows to you individually and for the world around us. We pray for our city, God, for those struggling, in debt, without a home, losing jobs, for those who are lonely, for those who are at a loss in any way. God, we pray that we would be your hands and feet to them, to ourselves, to us. Bring them comfort today. Use our giving to bless many, God. Father, we pray for the situation in Myanmar. Father, we ask for a resolution to the unrest there, that there wouldn't be a violent response to the protests. We ask for peace and protection for the people there. We pray for our country, for our leaders as they navigate us through the pandemic. Father, we thank you for vaccines and key workers that are serving so hard to provide protection for people. We ask for your blessing to be upon them. Father, we ask for reprieve and for joy in the struggle for all, Lord. And as we come to your word this morning, would your spirit reveal to us your way when facing loss? Would you reveal to us your hope and how we can trust you, and please help us trust you? Thank you so much for Tim, God. And we pray that you would speak through him powerfully this morning. Give us ears to hear and hearts that would listen. In your name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Becca, and for everyone who helps to put together these live streams. And it's been a joy to do this new series together, Walking with God. And one of the things that's starting to stand out in this series is the unexpected ways of God. That means Dan, who's getting baptized, and for any Christian, walking with God will probably not go as we expect. And that's both encouraging and troubling. It's encouraging because, as we saw last week, that can mean wonderful provision in unexpected ways and unexpected places. There's nothing like a journey of faith. But it's also troubling because it seems to frequently mean unexpected suffering. And I don't know about you, but I don't like suffering. We've been asking the question in recent weeks, why does God allow so much trouble to come into this world and into our lives? You may have questions like that at the moment. Many people do, as they face loss of jobs and income, loss of homes, relationships under strain, loss of friends and family. You know, one local hospital chaplain described a few weeks ago how he's had amazing conversation with people, but has also had to sit by so many COVID deathbeds, including a man with a young family whose prayers for his healing were left apparently unanswered. This minister himself has just been recently hospitalized as well with COVID. Please pray for his recovery. Why does trouble come like this? Not just for those who are ignoring God and living selfish lives, but So those who are actually trying to follow God and help others, and that can be such a discouraging thing, you know, when you're trying your best and it's like the rug is pulled out underneath you. And that's what we see happening in Elijah's life. You know, having boldly and obediently stood before kind of King Ahab, he's firstly sent to the desert and then to enemy territory in Zarephath, facing challenge after challenge that seemed to just get harder and harder. And though we've seen that this is about preparation, not punishment, what comes next is truly tragic, and it calls into question the very character and trustworthiness of God. The terrible death of the only son of this poor widow who'd been so kind to Elijah leaves him and her reeling in the face of this tragedy. Today we're going to talk about the times we simply don't understand, when tragedy strikes and there seems to be no answers. What is God's purpose? Most importantly, what is God's answer to the suffering we face? Well, there is an answer, but it's not simplistic. It is costly. On the one hand, it actually leads to an expectation of trouble in life. But the answer is also full of hope. It's bigger and better than we dreamed, as we've been glimpsing already in this service. There is an even greater expectation of joy to come for our lives and for this world. Hope that just as the widow's grief was turned to joy, so too will ours. So firstly, expect great trouble. Christians are not supposed to be surprised when trouble comes. Jesus said, John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble. 1 Peter 4 verse 12 says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening. Do you get surprised by trouble? I do. You know, even though I know the words of Jesus, I often get surprised. I find it so hard. I can really sympathize with this widow. It's so tragic. She's already lost her husband. She's in deep poverty. She's dared to trust God. She's opened her home to Elijah, given her last of her supplies. And yet, yes, she's kind of experienced miraculous provision, but only for this all to be ripped away as her son dies. I can't imagine the pain of losing a child. I've seen others walk through it. It seems to me like the pinnacle of suffering. Kay Warren, following the tragic death of her and Rick Warren's son, said, I will grieve for my son, she says, every day of my life. Now, one of my friends who has tragically lost two children describes it as deep, searing pain. Terrible situation. You know, on top of this, for the widow, this son would have represented her only security and hope of provision for the future. I'm not surprised that she kind of lets rip at Elijah. Verse 18, she says, what do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son? It's like, what on earth is going on? Why did you come? Why is God against me? And she gives kind of voice to the suspicion that many people have as we face suffering. It's this. Is God just getting his vengeance? Is this suffering because of some sin in my life, she asks. Now, we don't know what she's talking about there. She could be referring to her previous worship of Baal or some other secret sin. But her assumption is this is God kind of getting his own back. I wonder if you've ever felt like that. You know, just so devastated, like God is punishing you. You know, in our Bible in 1 year readings this week, we saw that that's exactly what Job's friends thought was happening to him in his suffering. God punishing him for something. I know people who've walked clean away from God because of tragedy like this, and they've made that assumption. So why does this stuff happen? How does Elijah answer her? Well, he says, verse 19, give me your son, Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, O Lord, my God, Have you brought tragedy also upon this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die? Elijah has no explanation to give to this widow. Why? Well, his prayer shows it's actually because he doesn't know why this has happened. And this is really important. Sometimes with suffering, we simply do not know why. And we can actually make things a whole lot worse with our speculations, like Job's so-called friends did. You know, we live in a world that is so broken, and we all get touched by that brokenness. And often we don't know why. Elijah has nothing to say. In fact, he has some questions of his own, and he does what all God's people should do when faced with tragedy. He goes to God. And he cries out to God in desperation. He says, my God, what's going on? What are you doing? You know, one of the greatest gifts we can give people who are suffering is to share silently in their pain and then to bring that pain before God in prayer. And I love the honesty that Elijah brings here. It's like, God, this just doesn't seem right. The situation they face is so clearly beyond anything he can deal with. So his first instinct is to pray. You know, when trouble comes, pray. When the impossible comes, pray. Elijah gets alone with God. He lays the situation. In fact, he lays the boy before God. And then he asks for something extraordinary, something that has never been seen in the Bible up to this point. He asks God to bring life back to this dead boy. Verse 21, he says, then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried to the Lord, O Lord, my God, let this boy's life return. This is a kind of desperate and audacious plea. Elijah can see no other answer to this suffering than the total reversal of it. And this is really important, because there's some suffering where you can kind of learn from it. But there's other suffering where the only solution is actually the total reversal of what's happened. Yeah, Elijah says, God, you need to undo this. This is too much. God, please have mercy. And then he does this strange thing of kind of laying on the boy. And some commentators have suggested, as if to say to God, let my life be his life, my breath, his breath, take me rather than him. And this is when things change. Yes, we expect great trouble, but we expect greater joy. Verse 22 is astounding. I mean, look at this. The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. He lived. God hears Elijah's cry and gives the boy his life back. This is the most amazing miracle. This is the miracle to kind of end all miracle. It turns back death. And it's followed by this wonderful reunion. Verse 23, Elijah picked up the child, carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, your son is alive. Can you imagine that feeling the widow must have had? All of a sudden, everything's changed. In an instant, this is no longer a story of tragedy. This is now a story of wonderful, miraculous hope. It's a story of joy, of victory over death. Why? Well, it's not because the tragedy or the tears or the grief weren't real, but only because the answer is bigger and better than the tragedy. The ending changes everything. That's always true with life. It's all about the ending. You know, we are reminded this week, again in our readings, of the rescue in 2010 of the 33 Chilean miners trapped for 69 weeks underground. Just extraordinary, if you remember it. And one of them, Jose Enriquez, said, we began by praying. And then the moment came, and if you can remember seeing it just all across the news, rescue came. Every single miner was rescued with headlines across the world. And that's what we remember, the joy of the ending, the joy of the rescue. You know, one of the clear lessons from this account is that God can transform the darkest and most hopeless situations. You know, we need to learn to call on him, to pray in faith. But there is a much bigger truth that God is revealing here. You see, as we look at this story, it'd be very easy to point out that this widow gets what most people don't. She gets her son restored to her in that moment. I mean, what about those whose children die and they don't get them back? What about minors who don't get rescued? What about all the tragedy of this pandemic? Where is their hope? Well, this is where the Christian answer is bigger and better than we dreamed. You know, one of the big problems for Christianity is that we've got a bit confused about the ending. You know, many of us grew up basically being taught that Christianity is all about getting to heaven when you die, kind of escaping this earth. But that is less than half the story and doesn't really help with the very real losses that are here and now, and doesn't help me see the point of living today. Yes, there is a hope of heaven, but that's just an interim thing. That's not the ultimate hope. What is the Elijah story about? Well, it's about God giving us a glimpse of what is to come. You see, the widow gets a very brief mention in the list of people who have faith in Hebrews 11, 35. It says this: women received back their dead, raised to life again. It says there were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that, listen to this, they might gain an even better resurrection. Verse 40 then says, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what was been promised. There's a promise that they're still waiting for. Amazingly, something even better than a widow getting back her dead son. What is that promise? Well, it's that one day this world will be put right. It will be remade and renewed. You know, our hope is that one day there'll be something better than a reversal. A resurrection is coming, a day when, as it says in Revelation 21, verse 4, God will wipe every tear from their eye. That means that the reasons for the tears will be solved, just as the widow's tears were solved. There is a day coming when God says, behold, I'm going to make everything new. As Samwise Gamgee beautifully puts it in The Lord of the Rings, when he asks, is everything sad going to come untrue? The Christian answer is yes. Yes, it is going to come untrue. There's something very wrong with the world and it'll be put right. And you're like, how? Well, at the very heart of Christianity, we see the answer. Another man of God, the ultimate man of God, God's only son, dying and then rising again. Why? Well, on the cross, Jesus does what Elijah symbolically does. He gives his life for our lives. He's kind of stretched out all the way. He loves us to the uttermost. He cries out, forgive them, Father. Effectively, let their life return. Let my life be given for theirs. The righteous for the unrighteous. Here's the answer to the question everyone asks in suffering. Is God out to get vengeance? No. This is the God who loves us and chooses to suffer for us in our place, not to judge us, but to actually take judgment on himself. I mean, that is love. The answer, does God care about suffering, is a resounding yes. He loves us so much he would take our suffering on himself so that the power of sin and darkness could finally be fully broken. And then we see the results of this sacrifice of love. Resurrection happens. That is how sad things finally come untrue. That is how a new humanity arises. This is our hope. This is what is pictured in baptism, as Becca said, new life beginning. There will ultimately be resurrection life. One day we will get brand new bodies. We're going to live in a completely restored world on earth. Those we've lost will be resurrected, and that reunion and the joy of God's presence will totally eclipse all the very real pain now. This is even better than what the widow had, but there's more. We're not simply waiting. The Christian hope is that this resurrection work has already begun inside us. Ephesians 1 says the spirit that raised Christ from the dead is at work in us. Jesus prays, tells us to pray, may your kingdom come on earth now as it is in heaven. You know, this life actually matters more than we realize. We're not trying to escape it. We're living in anticipation of the life to come as we dare to live cross-shaped lives so people can get a glimpse through our love, our care, our pursuit of justice, and our service of the poor that something better is coming. There is an end to the story that changes everything, and everything that we do shows up. Everything good of the kingdom shows up in the kingdom to come. How do you enter this story of resurrection? It's by faith. With all their questions, there was faith in Elijah and the woman. Elijah, in faith, takes the son to God. The widow willingly surrenders him. You too can come with all your questions and losses and dare to trust in Jesus, who says, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. You can trust the words of Jesus, as this video reminds us.
I've got a heart full of hope because when my Jesus spoke, he called me out of the darkness and into his light. I've got a heart full of hope because when my Jesus spoke, he breathed into my bones and caused me to rise. More gladness than the start of the summer vacation. More joy than arriving at my most treasured location. More relief than getting the letter for my vaccination. Yes, there's hope now, but just wait until we get to eternity. There'll be new creation, new bodies, new places, new faces. There'll be banquets and dancing and singing and rest. There'll be laughter and sights and joy and more singing. Think heaven will be boring? No, I know the architect and he's far from boring. I've got a heart full of hope because when my Jesus spoke, all of heaven was singing and gazing upon him. I've got a heart full of hope because when my Jesus spoke, I looked up and I saw him for the very first time. He was smiling at me and I knew I never wanted to leave.
Amen. If you want to put your hope in Jesus, you can pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for the hope of resurrection. Thank you that you died and rose again for me. I come with all my questions, pain and losses, and I choose to trust in you. Please forgive me and set me free from the power of sin and death. I ask you to come into my life by your Spirit that I may know the power of your resurrection life. Help me follow you and seek to bring your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.